Why bother being a believer? That is the topic of today's talk. Because why on earth would anyone want to be a Christian? Why would they bother to be a believer? In our modern world of freedom, of liberation, why shackle yourself to an old-fashioned belief structure? Take one of my boys, one of my gang, one of my lads, one of my pals, take Josh. Why on earth is he a Christian? Why does he bother? Because actually, when you think about it, it is slightly mental that he's a Christian. Because you see, well, he's single and he is ready to mingle. Yet, because he's a Christian, he's not going to have sex outside or before marriage. What? No sex before marriage? Mental. Why on earth is he a Christian? You know, like Josh, like, he's a good-looking lad. He could go and have himself a good time. What on earth is he doing? Christianity, it seems pretty unattractive, don't you think? Why on earth would anyone want to be a Christian? Well, this is precisely what this passage is about. Why bother being a believer? And John here helps us understand why people bother to be believers. For whoever believes in Jesus will have eternal life, will be saved, and will come to the light. And John shows us this in 3 points. You should bother to be a believer because, one, whoever believes in Jesus will have eternal life. Whoever believes in Jesus will have eternal life. Please look down with me at John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, our culture, it loves to talk about love, doesn't it? And our modern poets of the day, they've got lots of advice. The philosopher, Ed Sheeran, has some wonderful words of wisdom on the topic. The club isn't the best place to find a lover, so the bar is where I go. Handy. Thank you, Ed. Or maybe we need to go a little bit further back to understand love. L is for the way you look at me. O is for the only one I see. V is very, very extraordinary. E is even more than anyone that you adore. So, love is to be found in a bar and not a club, and it's all about the way that you look at me. Interesting. God's love seems to be a little bit deeper than that. God loved the world, we read here. He proactively loved the world. He passionately loved the world. That he sent the world a gift. The greatest gift of all. The greatest gift that he could possibly send. His only son. Now this love is not a warm, fuzzy sort of love. Is not a pink, fluffy bear sort of love. It is deep and intentional and sacrificial because God gave the thing he prized more than anything else in all the world. He gave his only son. Now, I'm not a father, and I don't know what it would cost me to give up one of my children. But I imagine that it would be hard. That is the magnitude of this gift of love. It's important to note that God the Father did not give up a baby to be sacrificed. He's not a monster. He gave up his son, who is a fully thinking and totally willing. But the willingness of both the Father and the Son, it only magnifies the depth of God's love. This gift of love means that if anyone believes in Jesus, that he is the Son of God, they will not perish, but they'll have eternal life. As we go through the passage, we see these two groups of people beginning to emerge. Here they're represented as those who will perish and those who will have eternal life. Whoever does not believe in Jesus will perish. When a log is thrown onto the fire, it perishes. For someone to perish, it doesn't seem very loving though, does it, when we think about that? oh, actually, it feels quite angry. Is God really loving if he lets people perish? Well, one of my favorite authors, Tim Keller, has a wonderful, if slightly long, quote to help us think through this from his book, The Reason for God. Let me read it to you. All loving persons are sometimes filled with wrath, not just despite, but because of their love. If you love a person and you see someone ruining them, even they themselves, you get angry. As Becky Pippet puts it, think how we feel when we see someone we love ravaged by unwise actions or relationships. Do we respond with benign tolerance as we might towards strangers? Far from it. Anger isn't the opposite of love. Hate is. And the final form of hate is indifference. God's wrath is not a cranky explosion, but his settled opposition to the cancer, which is eating out the inside of the human race he loves with his whole being. The Bible says that God's wrath flows from his love and delight in his creation. He is angry at evil and injustice because it is destroying its peace and integrity. You are not loving if you are not just, and you are not just if you do not punish that which is wrong. God is loving, and thus he is just. So whoever does not believe in Jesus will perish. But whoever does believe in Jesus will have eternal life. Through believing in Jesus, you're putting God in his rightful place. You're the creator God, and I'm the created. In January 2015, The Observer had an article, "Live forever, scientists say. They'll soon extend life well beyond 120. The Daily Mail at the same time ran an article claiming humans will be able to live for 500 years. Because apparently Google and other Silicon Valley firms are trying to cure the problem of death. And they're trying to give humans more life. Belief in Jesus does not extend your life to 120 years or 500 years. Those who believe in Jesus will have eternal life. Death, that great destroyer of human dignity and worth, it itself will be destroyed. Life will be able to be enjoyed without that fear of death looming over us. Whoever believes in Jesus will have eternal life. This is one reason why people bother to be believers, because they know a God who loves them so much that he would send his son as a gift, and all they have to do is believe in him and they will gain eternal life. Tyndale was one such man who bothered. He believed that despite the fact it would cost him his life, he was going to bother with belief. Now, Tyndale, he was a Roman Catholic priest during the reign of Henry VIII. In those days, no one really read the Bible because you could only find one in Latin. But Tyndale, because he was very good at languages, he started to read the Bible. And actually, as he read the Bible, he discovered this God of love who gave this gift of his son. He discovered this most amazing news. And so amazed was Tyndale that actually he wanted all men to know. He wanted all women to know. He desperately needed all people to know, to be able to read about this wonderful God of love. And so he started to translate the Bible into English. But back then, the Catholic Church would have none of it. So they hunted him down. And finally, after a long time, they caught him, they tortured him, and they killed him. Because he wanted to translate the Bible into English. Because he wanted everyone to know about this God who gives eternal life. While he was on the run, he wrote this. "For if God be on our side," slightly old English, "what matter maketh it who be against us, be they bishops, cardinals, popes, or whatever name they will." If God is on our side, it doesn't matter what the world has to say, or if the whole world is lining against us, or the most powerful people of the day are against us. It doesn't matter if God is on our side, then we're the lucky ones. Even if you have to die for it, we're the lucky ones. We're the lucky ones because whoever believes in Jesus has eternal life. God loves the world. And that means that God loves you. And that means that God loves me. And that means that God loves that person sitting next to you. God's love is so great that he gives you his only son. So that if you believe, you too can have eternal life. Will you believe in Jesus? Will you accept that offer of eternal life? Will you respond to the God of love? The second reason why we should bother to be a believer. Whoever believes in Jesus will be saved. Let's look down at chapter 3, verse 17 to 18. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. You see, God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, to hold it account, to judge it, the people according to their crimes. That wasn't actually the purpose of Jesus' first mission. The purpose of Jesus' first mission when he came to earth was to save the world. God intentionally wants people not to perish, but to be saved. And here again, we see those two groups of people. God wants people to be saved. And you see, Jesus, he is like a fire escape door. If you go through the door, you are saved. To go through the door, that all that is required of you is belief. Believe in him, and you will not be condemned, held to account, judged. Well, if you don't believe, then you're already condemned. The building is already burning down. You're already in danger. Jesus, he didn't come out here and start the fire. He's a door which allows you to escape from it. Belief in Jesus, it's not a test. Pass, you get life. Fail, you get condemnation. No, that's not how it works. Those who do not believe stand already condemned. They have already failed. They're already in a queue, waiting to be judged, because they've spent their entire lives putting their middle finger up to God and saying that I hate you, and I loathe you, and I do not believe in you, and I'm not going to follow your way or your word. Belief in Jesus is not a pass or fail, because everyone has already failed. The fire is raging, and we need to run. We need to run to the fire door. We need to believe in Jesus. We need to smash through the door and breathe the fresh air of eternal life and know with all confidence that we are saved, that we are rescued. Whoever believes in Jesus will be saved. This is why people bother to be believers. John Newton from the 1700s was a man who stood condemned. He was a slave trader. And God showed John Newton that he stood condemned, that he would perish for how he had treated his fellow man and his only true God. But God also showed John the amazing gift of Jesus, a gift so powerful that if John believed in him, he would be forgiven. The transformation, it was so vast in John's life that he gave up his job, he gave up his slave trade job, and he became a campaigner to abolish slavery forever. Reflecting on his salvation, he wrote these words: "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." John is an obvious example, but he's not the only one who stands condemned. You see, we too stand condemned. We all stand condemned. I stand condemned. I can see that cancer which eats me up and ruins me. I look in the mirror, and if I really look at myself clearly for who I really am, I know that I do not love God as I should, as he was right. I know that I can hate what he says and hate his ways. I don't love my neighbor as I should. I can find myself loathing them, feeling better than them, judging them. I stand condemned. We all stand condemned. Now, I can't see into your soul. I don't know what your heart is like. But have you really loved God with your whole being? Because that is what us as creatures are meant to do, to love God with all that we are. Have you loved your neighbor as you love yourself? I can't see your soul, but I know you're like me. Because the Bible says that we all stand condemned already. Recognize who you are. Recognize that you stand condemned. Recognize your guilt. Recognize your shame. Recognize that you have not put God in the place he deserves to be put, the center of your life. Recognize this and believe in Jesus, because whoever believes in Jesus will be saved. Run to Jesus, run to that fire door and escape and be rescued and be saved. Whoever believes in Jesus will be saved. The third reason why we should bother to be a believer. Whoever believes in Jesus will come to the light. Please look down with me for the last time at chapter 3, 19 to 21. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. So what is God's judgment? What is it going to look like? God's word here tells us that whoever is going to face his judgment is actually choosing in some way to face it. God's judgment is actually chosen. God's judgment consists of a light coming into the world. And we know from the beginning of John's gospel that that light is Jesus. And this light, it shines so brightly that again it causes a separation in people. There is one group who love the light and one group who love the darkness. Those who hate the light, they love the darkness. They hate the light and they love the darkness. They love the darkness because it covers up. It covers up everything. It covers up all their evil deeds. And they hate the light because it shows them for who they really are. It will expose them. It will reveal them. And can you be more obviously guilty than that? You know your actions are wrong, so you intentionally avoid a situation where you'll be found out. Doesn't that prove your guilt then? The other group, they do the opposite. Instead of hating the light, they come to the light. They welcome the light. And they walk towards the light, for they know that the light will reveal something amazing within them. They know that if they come to the light, the works of God, which God has been doing within them, are going to be clearly seen. They come to the light not because they want to show off about themselves and say, look at me, look at me, look at me. No, they come to the light because they know that actually on their own they stand condemned. They come to the light because they want all to see, everyone to see, the incredible work which God is doing in them. And the person who recognizes what God has done in their life has so much to show off about. They've got so much to sing and to dance about. You see, this person, they've recognized that on their own, they're condemned and they will perish. But they believe in Jesus. And because of this belief, God has started to do an incredible work of transformation in them. He started to transform them and renew them. A renewal so vast, it's like you've been born again. Started afresh. Innocent. Pure. Whoever believes in Jesus comes to the light. Augustine of Hippo, an ancient Roman, was one such man who came to the light. And even though he's from the 300s, his story feels very familiar. For he was a lover of life. He loved beauty. He loved happiness. He loved lust. He loved love itself. And he was looking for deep satisfaction in all these things. Yet in life, in beauty, in happiness, in love, in lust, he could not find this satisfaction which his heart longed for and craved. Until he came to the realization that nothing in all creation would satisfy him from God, apart from God. And he wrote this: "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." Our hearts are restless till they find our rest in you. And once he's realized this, he couldn't live in the darkness anymore. He couldn't continue with his love of lust. No, he had to come to the light. Once he realized this, God started to do an incredible work of transformation within him. Once he realized this and he believed in Jesus, he started to be born again. Now this passage, this whole passage is so modern. It's fundamentally telling us, be true to ourselves. Because if you hate Jesus because he exposes you and your deeds and who you really are, then you're not going to come to the light. You're not going to be a believer. But if you love Jesus, then you will have to come to the light. You will have to walk to it. Because you know that once you were condemned, but now God is doing a mighty work within you and you're being born again. And actually you're going to want to show off about that. Sing and dance about that. Do you feel that alone you stand condemned? Do you feel that alone you will perish? Have you started to believe in Jesus, that he is the only Son of God? If so, come to the light so that good work of God may be seen in you. Come on, nail your colours to the mast. Say it loud and say it proud. I believe in Jesus. No matter what the world says, no matter what my friends say or what culture say, I can't deny it anymore. And make sure everyone knows about it and then live it out, no matter what other people say. Whoever believes in Jesus will come to the light. So why bother being a believer? Why is my buddy Josh a believer? It's mental that he doesn't play the field, that he doesn't try and get as many girls as he can. And it's easy to focus on the things which he loses out on being a believer. But if we do that, we've just missed the point. Because we don't miss out on anything. Instead, believers gain everything. You see, Josh is not enslaved to momentary pleasure, a joy that is great, but it cannot last. He is instead set free because he believes in Jesus and has eternal life. And his joy, it is going to be endless rather than momentary. Josh does not have to live pretending that just everything's okay. He doesn't have to go around pretending that he's not ashamed of things or pretending that he's not guilt, that his guilt doesn't exist. Actually, he has the ability to acknowledge his shame and his guilt, to say, yes, I am condemned, and believe in Jesus and be saved. That's so freeing. Josh does not have to deny himself anymore. He can be true to himself. He can acknowledge that God is doing a wonderful, mighty, awesome work in his life, that he is being born again. Because he believes in Jesus, he can come to the light and he can show off so that everyone will see the incredible work which only God is doing. Is it mental that people are believers? It's the opposite of mental. It's absolutely amazing. If you believe in Jesus, then you have eternal life. You will be saved and you will come to the light. Belief in Jesus, it's too good not to do. You've got to believe. You have to believe. All people need to believe. And it doesn't really matter who you are, whether you're old or whether you're young, heterosexual, homosexual, bisexual, transgender, whether you're black or whether you're white, whether you're thin or whether you're fat, whether you're short or whether you're tall, whether you're disabled or fully abled, whether you've got a beard or not at all, whether you're bald on top or you've got loads of hair, it doesn't matter. This news, it is too good. It is too wonderfully good not to believe. It is worth giving your life to. It's worth going against the flow of our culture. It is worth all the riches under the sun. Whoever believes in Jesus will have eternal life. Will you believe? Will you come to the light? Today, will you believe in Jesus? If you feel that you stand condemned, if you know that alone you will perish, and if you want to respond to God's gift of love and belief in Jesus, then I'm gonna say a simple prayer. And if you agree with it, then please say amen. These are the words. I'll read it through first so that you know what you're getting yourself into. And then afterwards, I will pray it. So the words I'll be saying, Dear God, I know that alone I am condemned and I deserve to perish. Thank you for the love you have for me in sending Jesus to save me. I believe in Jesus. I believe that Jesus is the only Son of God. I'm going to pray it. And if you agree, please say amen with me. Let's pray. Dearest God, I know that alone I am condemned and I deserve to perish. Thank you for the love you have for me in sending Jesus to save me. I believe in Jesus. I believe that Jesus is the only Son of God. Amen. If today that was the first time you've ever prayed that prayer, then please tell someone, a friend, a neighbour, myself, Charlotte, anyone, come into the light. Let me read to close John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.